On the Book Show with your host, Dave Doc Kirby.
Our very special Father's Day program today features a guy who's a dad six times over. You might know him as one of the men behind the modern Christian worship movement, who's the leader of the group Delirious that toured for 15 years around the world. But to his six kids, he's dad. And to his wife, Anna, he's her beloved husband. And we're so delighted to have Martin Smith with us today to talk about his book, Delirious, My Journey with the Band, A Growing Family, and an Army of History Making. It's published by David C. Cook. Anna's book is Meet Mrs. Smith, My Adventures with Six Kids, One Rockstar Husband, and A Heart to Fight Poverty. It's also published by David C. Cook. Martin, welcome to On the Book Show.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be on the show.
The really amazing thing to me is not that you had these wonderful adventures and opportunities, but that it really seemed that it was pretty obvious that God was moving you in particular directions, but he got your attention to change careers and to start a band of your own and to tour professionally with the group that eventually came to be called Delirious in a pretty dramatic way. Do you want to tell us the story about the car crash?
Yeah, sure. Well, that was back in 1995 now, and we were traveling across the country, across England in the middle of the night. And unfortunately, we had a really bad car smash, and I was in hospital for 2 weeks with a broken leg. So that was a really pivotal moment, really, for us, that we took stock of that. I had time to think, and it was just a time, okay, guys, do we want to do this music full-time? And if we do, come on, let's do this. And so 6 months later, we had sold some things and left our businesses, and we went for the music, and it was a great decision.
The 17 years that you and your brothers-in-law performed as Delirious, traveling around the world, you did something that I thought was really remarkable and really a great thing to do, and that ties right in with why the book is not just about what it's like to be a rock star who's in a Christian band, but it's also about what it's like to be a dad in a situation like this. You guys made the decisions early on that whenever you made tours anywhere else, they would only be about 10-day tours, so you wouldn't be gone too long from your families or from your home church.
Yeah, that's correct. We did that, faithfully for, over that whole period, and, everyone's still married. And so that's good news.
Indeed.
And, we just knew that it was family first, and God would have to bless our music. And, we're glad he did.
Being a dad long distance, I've done a little bit of traveling just from one state to another, and there's an enormous guilt complex as you drive away from the house and little tiny hands are waving goodbye to you, saying, hurry back, Dad, and so forth. I can only imagine if there's six of those little pairs of hands that it gets tougher and tougher. And your wife, Anna, had some other difficult pregnancies, which, sadly enough, did not end up with a child, and also had some of your kids had kind of scary pregnancies, too. How do you handle that, being able to go off and know that part of your heart stays at home?
It is very, very difficult. In fact, it's probably the hardest thing to do, is to get on an airplane when you know that things at home aren't easy. But I have to say my wife has been an amazing woman and is an amazing woman to have ported what God asked us to do together. And so really, she's been the key to it all, and keeping the children focused and happy. And, it was never long before Dad came home, and we always used that time. We made it great.
Well, once again, I think the decision of the band to not make three-month and four-month tours was remarkably courageous, because certainly you had enough invitations to perform that you could have been on the road practically year-round. But that, to me, that was a great commitment that you made as a Christian and as a dad and as a husband to not be caught up in it so much that you came home to be with your family and stay rooted in your home church, too. I think that's a lovely thing. Tell us a little bit about the trip that you made to India in 2007 when you went to a Mumbai slum. I've made some short-term music mission trips myself, nothing like with Delirious, but I understand what it's like to go to a place where everything is so different and the people are living in such abject poverty that when you get back home, it's almost unbelievable that people are living day to day in this. And this had an extraordinary effect on you and on the band and on your spouses as well, right?
It's something you can't really put into words properly, isn't it, until you've actually done it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I think to have the privilege of going to some very, very poor places, taking your children to, and letting them see that actually we live in an incredibly privileged way,
yeah,
has really shaped them. And I think it comes back to the gospel that that Christ saved us so that we can then give our lives away to help save other people's lives. And I think that's been a really important journey that we've been on.
The particular girl that you met was the daughter of a prostitute living in the slum. And at one point, according to Martin's book, Delirious, at one point, you were practically consumed with the idea, I've just got to rescue this girl from this situation. There's no way I have these wonderful children back home. I don't have to worry about any of them growing up to be prostitutes or living in a prostitute's house. And you had a pretty amazing telephone call with Anna at that point, I think.
Yeah. And I remember, the emotion of wanting to bring somebody home. And this little girl, Farine, was just amazingly beautiful. She was in a very desperate situation where I knew that if she wasn't looked after, then, she would just go into prostitution like her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't bear that thought. And so, we talked about bringing her home. And actually, that didn't work out because the mother wanted to keep her in the end, and that was a nothing. And it led on to us as a family getting more involved. So that was a real miracle.
Now, the Art of Compassion, and WTBF participated in airing the songs from the CD, so I reviewed the book. I remember when all of this came out. Tell us a little bit about your involvement with other artists in the Art of Compassion book and CD and DVD.
Well, we asked every artist that was involved in the Compassion Art Project to write a chapter on their experience of how what God was doing in their lives and hearts about moving them towards compassion for other people. And so, Darlene wrote a chapter, Michael W., various different people. And that was a fantastic variety in that book. Really love it that it's got all those people involved, everyone telling life from their own perspective. And I think that brings it down to earth that this is for everybody, and for everybody to be involved.
In case you're just joining us, we're talking to Martin Smith, who is the author of Delirious, My Journey with the Band, A Growing Family, and an Army of History Makers. It's published by David C. Cook. His wife Anna's book is Meet Mrs. Smith, My Adventures with Six Kids, One Rockstar Husband, and A Heart to Fight Poverty, also published by David C. Cook. At one point, the band decided that whenever possible, the kids and wives would travel with you, and so your children and got an opportunity. I believe you guys came to America several times that you brought the kids and Anna and all the other wives, and this became a pretty extraordinary opportunity for the kids to get to see other parts of the world as well. And where are some of the other places that you were able to travel with your children and your spouses?
Yeah, sure. We went to Cambodia. We went to Indonesia, to India, and to Africa, to Uganda. And it was just an incredible season of seeing children exposed to children the same age as them that had absolutely nothing, hardly any clean water.
Yeah.
Not easy access to medicine. And I think it was very, very humbling. And I can tell you the conversations we've had since have been amazing. And I think it's given them an amazing perspective on life. And hopefully it will shape them for the future and encourage them to be people that will really give their lives away.
And that's really what we're about as parents too, isn't it? We certainly have to grow in our own faith, but we also have challenge from the Lord to raise up another generation behind us, that one day we won't be around. We'll have gone on to be with Christ, but in the meantime, the work on earth has to be done, and the opportunity to to help our children to a saving knowledge of Christ and then living out a life of compassion and compassionate service for Christ. To me, this is one of the biggest burdens that I carried. My sons are grown now, but when they were little, this was constantly on my mind. How do I help model Christian manhood for them? How do we help them to see with the eyes of Christ suffering around us and pain and loss? These are big things for a dad to have to deal with, even one who's not as busy as you. It must have been something that you had to work at all the time.
Yeah, definitely. And, yeah, I mean, it's an everyday thing, isn't it? Because, you know, when we come home, we live in England, and, you know, you settle back into normal life. Mm-hmm. And I think it's finding a way of keeping these things alive. And I think church is great for that because, you know, you're constantly around people. Some are better off than you, some are worse off than you. And I think that's a great, great part of God's plan.
Yeah, it's really difficult to be a Lone Ranger Christian. I don't know if you can really ever be really the kind of person that Christ dreams you to be if you're going to try to do it by yourself all the time. I'm like you. I think it's really critical that Christians stay involved in a local church. That helps ground them. I mean, for you guys, you know, you go all over the world. You perform these amazing songs. You perform before huge crowds. You won Dove Awards, nominated for a Grammy, songs like I Could Sing of Your Love Forever and Did You Feel the Mountains Tremble? I mean, songs that those of us that are in Christian worship music, these are our standards that it's a great privilege to sing, and you guys were the ones that originated them. So you could, it would be very, very easy, if you were not careful, to be tempted to start thinking of yourselves as kind of a pretty big deal. But being in the local church, that keeps you kind of humble and grounded, huh?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it's the only place to really exist, isn't it? Is amongst people, with people, around people. And it's there that you learn more about yourself and about other people. So, I mean, that's the only way we've ever done it. So we love that.
Well, now, when you guys decided that the journey with Delirious had accomplished all that you wanted to accomplish with it, that you felt like God had used you in the way that you were willing to be used, you decided to end it. How did you guys approach this with each other about, well, this wonderful thing that we've had together with my brother and my brothers-in-law, maybe we should not do it anymore?
Yeah, no, it was very difficult. I guess that it was a decision that I made. I knew that it was time for me to pull away and be with my family a bit more. It had been 15 years of traveling. And, you know, I just knew that it was really important for me to be home more and, you know, and enjoy that and not miss out on that season. That's the decision I made. And so, obviously, it affected five families, and that was very difficult for us all. But, you know, we're all great friends, and we're living to tell the tale.
There's something in your book that I wanted to quote toward the end here. Let me find it real quick. I marked it up good here. About one of the things that you're discovering about not being having to tour all the time and being able to be home more with your family. Here it is. I do know a strange thing is happening to me. I'm discovering an amazing commodity. It's called space. Space. I love that. Space revealed to me a world that I forgot existed. And you're back to waiting to see what God has in mind for you next and waiting to see what his plans are for you next. That's a very liberating feeling. Can be a little unsettling from time to time, I would think.
Yeah, I think it is. We're right in the middle of transition. I think that it is a journey. And, you know, I can't say that it's all plain sailing, but we're loving it. We're loving the space together. And, you know, I think God is very present in a different way. And so, yeah, we're just getting along and hoping that things will pan out. But, you know, we're having to be patient.
In case you're just joining us, we're talking to Martin Smith, the leader of the group Delirious. His new book is called Delirious, My Journey with the Band, A Growing Family, and An Army of History Makers. It's published by David C. Cook, who also publishes his wife's book that came out at the same time, Meet Mrs. Smith, My Adventures with Six Kids, One Rockstar Husband, and A Heart to Fight Poverty, also from published by David C. Cook. And I can hear in the background kids coming in and out, and I know your wife is there, and I just think it's wonderful, isn't it? And instead of this being some kind of sterile little thing, we're getting a chance to interact, and your home in England, this is going to air on Father's Day here in America. So people are going to hopefully gain some insight about how we make space for our families in all of our busyness. And there was something else that you wrote in Delirious, in the book, that is, not in the music of the band, but something that you wrote in the book that resonated with me too, and that's because I've had this wonderful privilege of making this dozen or so trips out of the country with other musicians playing on behalf of Christ, and that is, you're so intense while you're over there. And then when you come back, the very, very difficult thing is to not forget and just to go back to normal life. And when you wrote that in here, the greatest tragedy is that we can come home from the short-term mission trip and get straight back into our everyday life and forget. And that's the truth, isn't it? Because it's easy once we're back in our normal, everyday stuff to forget about what we've seen overseas.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's so true.
Compassion Art, is that one of the ways that you guys work to not forget once you got back home?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big, big question, isn't it? Because, you know, we find it as difficult as everybody else to focus on things that aren't present. You know, our lives are very busy during the week, during the day, with six young children. And so I don't think there's any clever answers apart from, put photographs on your fridge, remember to bring it into conversation. And I think, you have to stay committed to things that you've promised to do, don't you? And so, there's no shortcuts on that, but you just got to keep intentional about it, haven't you? And I think the way we would is to, obviously, Compassion Art is still involved in lots of those projects, and we keep getting reports from how the money's being spent, and that's all very exciting.
There was something that Anna wrote in her book about, and I want to, and it was actually, I think she was quoting you. Let me see if I can find it real quick. It's about how awesome it was to be in India and having all of these children singing to you.
Yeah, that's always very, very emotional when you have children who really have got nothing, just full of God. And then they sing to you with all this joy and all this amazing life within them. And it's very, very humbling. And, it always brings you to tears. When people that have got nothing worship, it's a whole different bag to us people in the West.
Did you want to talk to us a little bit about how you and your wife met? Because I think this is a really lovely story, too. Would you mind telling us that story?
Yeah, sure. We met, I was an engineer at a studio, actually, a recording studio in the south of England. And This young lady came in that was singing in one of the kids' choir, and I caught her eye, and I thought, wow, she's pretty hot. And years later, we met a little bit better and got engaged and got married. So it was amazing. She was the pastor's daughter, and so I had to go carefully, but it was a great story, and we've been married 17 years.
Well, at one point, her dad invited you to stay with them in the house, and it wasn't too long after that that you realized that you were having feelings for each other.
Yeah, that's right. And that was all fun and games. And, I moved out and bought somewhere, and we lived there. And I lived there, and then Anna moved in when we got married. So, no, it's great. We've had a very, very blessed life together. It's been fantastic.
Did Anna want to jump in for just a moment and say hi to everybody, or do
I'll just go and get her.
Okay.
Hang on a minute.
While she's on the way here, let me ask you: do you have websites where people can go to learn more about Compassionate Art or anything like that?
Yeah, we do.
Okay,
we have CompassionArt.tv, which is the website about Compassion Art. I've got a website called MartinSmith.tv. And Anna has a website called meetmrssmith.com. And you can go there and sign up and get involved in all the different things.
All right, very good. I wanted to be sure that we had a chance to mention that to folks. I figured you probably did have a website, especially for Compassion Arts, so that's excellent.
Yes, yeah, just coming. Sorry about that. Okay, well, Anna's here.
Oh, okay. Hi, Anna.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thanks so much for joining us for a couple minutes. I know you stay very, very busy with all the kids.
No, just think I've got two in the bath, one doing the dishwasher, one's just coming with a headache, so I've just given that one some pills. So, no, I'm all good. Everyone's well.
That sounds like a very typical afternoon around the house.
Absolutely. This is a good day.
I didn't want to embarrass Martin by saying this. I want to say, Anna, that I was so impressed with the kind of humble attitude that Martin has in his book. And after reading your book, too, I figured this is really a wonderful partnership that you two have had all these years. And I know my wife keeps me humble, and I kind of wondered if maybe that was the same case with you.
Absolutely. We have a great team. We laugh a lot. Got to keep your feet on the ground. And actually, children help you do that as well.
Yes, very true there. And the more kids you are, the easier it is to...
They're really humble.
They sure do, don't they? The stories that you guys have, especially in Anna's book, about traveling with the kids and having millions of little pairs of pants and shirts and everything to keep track of on these trips was really astonishing. I want to say to both of you, I think it's really wonderful in being in a Christian band that you guys realized that we can't be good musicians and have a good witness if we don't act like Christ when we're around our families and when we're around other people. I think that the decisions that you guys made with the band about your families, I think that's really wonderful. I wish that occurred more often, but I just wanted to pat you both on the back for a minute. Anna, tell me about what was the most interesting thing about Martin as a dad?
He surprised me all the time. Him as a dad, I think, with him being away so much, I think I underestimated actually what a great dad he is. And I think we do life very differently. I quite like a lot of order. I'm quite a disciplinarian. I like, you know, there's rules and there are things that we like in life to go by. And Martin actually laughs a lot. He thinks that things are quite funny. So together, I've learned actually with Martin being around as a dad, how he can just, when one of the kids, especially the boys, are really struggling with something, he'll just say, hey, let's just go out and play, kick a football around in the garden. And he has a very different approach as a man. And I think that I am underestimated actually how my children just need sometimes someone just to distract them or do something different or take them out. And he is amazing at doing that. He's very good at thinking of different things to do. He's very creative with getting, like, let's go out this and do this today, let's go down the beach, let's all go on a bike ride. So he's very creative in things and what we can do as a family as well. And he very much sees every child as an individual and will really try, and whether, you know, that's one of the children just going to have a coffee with that one, just giving that one time, or whether it's just that other one that's just needing help with their homework, just spending time with that. So I think I probably underestimated him, thinking that actually I was the good mother and I was the mother and the father and I can do it all. And in these recent months, I've realised actually I'm not a great father. He's a much better father than I can ever be, which I'm quite pleased about.
That works out well, I think. It's so important for parents to understand that dads and moms bring different kinds of skill sets and different kinds of understanding to parenting. And it's kind of become in vogue in the States anyway the last couple of decades to act like dads are inconsequential. And I think that they're really missing something essential if kids don't have a wonderful relationship with their dad. And I was very lucky to have one with mine, and happily enough, my sons and I have a good relationship. And I think that models Christ, doesn't it? I mean, being a parent,
I think that's so important. But the other thing I think is really important as well is how we are together. I think we are their role models. And I think I had this great quote, I can't even remember who said it, that the greatest gift you can give your child is to love the wife and the wife to love the husband. And I think that is a crucial thing, that we can be a great mother and a great father, but at the end of the day, if we don't love each other, I think the children, just that's their biggest loss.
I think you're absolutely right. I've heard that quote before, and I totally believe it, that that's the best thing that we can do for our kids is to show them how to love one another and show them how you relate. For a little boy to see his mom being treated with respect. That's a little boy that when he grows up, he's going to treat his wife the same way. That's a critical thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, it's been such a privilege to get a chance to talk to both of you. Mart and I have played and sung your music before. It's a real thrill to get a chance to talk to you. But even more so, I think it's a real thrill for our listeners to get to find out about your lives and your lives as regular, ordinary, everyday Christians and as parents who are Christians. I think the examples that you are leading for us in that regard are wonderful, too. And I just want to say thanks to both of you for making some time to be with us today.
That's great. We've loved it. Thank you so much for having us.
Martin, and thank you again. Appreciate both of you guys making time to be with us. And the books, once again, are Delirious, My Journey with the Band, A Growing Family, and an Army of History Makers by Martin Smith and Craig Burles, published by David C. Cook. And Meet Mrs. Smith, My Adventures with Six Kids, One Rock Star Husband, and A Heart to Fight Poverty by Anna Smith and Carolyn Johnson, also published by David C. Cook. And Martin, tell us those websites one more time so that folks can find out more about what you guys are doing and what they can do to be a part of it.
He's had to nip off. He's gone to look after one of the children.
Okay. All right. That's fine. So that's compassionart.uk and martinsmith.uk, right? And meetmrs.smith.com. Very good. Anna, thank you so much. And Martin, thanks a lot. I appreciate you guys being with us today on the bookshelf.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. Take care and
God
bless.
God bless you.
Thanks for joining us for this very special Father's Day program with Martin Smith, his wife Anna Smith, and you notice some of the children in the background. Check my website on thebookshelf.biz for book bits and coming soon on the bookshelf audio. We'll see you next Sunday at 9:30 in the morning on FM 94.7, 2:30 in the afternoon on AM 970 and WTBF.com. Until then, I'm your host, Dave Doc Kirby. Thanks so much for joining us, and God bless.